Welcome to Locked On Cardinals. Alex Clancy, Bo Brock. Follow me on Twitter at Clancy's Corner. Follow Bo at Bob Brack. You can listen to us both on Fox Sports 910 Phoenix, me 1-4 on the Freaks and Bo 4-7 on the Drive. Yesterday, our podcast was dedicated to one Larry Fitzgerald, the dreadlocked one, the king of Arizona, which is what he is. I mean, he's the most impactful, maybe, person in Arizona history sports-wise. It's pretty safe to say.
Yeah, him and Jerry Colangelo.
Sure. Maybe player. Okay, I'll say player.
Sure.
Because it's Larry Fitzgerald has just endeared himself to everybody that has watched him play. Everybody that's met him. He takes time to sign autographs. He talks to people. He takes his time in interviews whenever we've interviewed him before. He's not rushing to get to the next thing. Larry Fitzgerald is exactly as advertised. Just like seemingly a perfect human being, at least in the eyes of the media. And on the field, we haven't even talked about the field yet. He's going to be, you know, an all-time wide receiver. So he got 11 mil. Fine. Bo and I talked about this yesterday. I talked about it on the show on the Freaks. I think it's too much. It doesn't matter. That's what he got. Let's move on. So, Bo, now that the head coach is set, the defensive coordinator with head coaching experience is set, quarterback coach and Tom Clements is going to be the closest thing to offensive coordinator that we have, it seems like. Everything is set. Now Larry Fitzgerald is set. All the foundational pieces are there. What's the next move? Your GM, Steve Keim, Bo, with a better hairline. What is your next move with all the holes that they have on this offense and defense? Where do you go next?
With Steve Keim and with Michael Bidwell, they always preach leadership, but I think the last couple of years, despite having Larry Fitzgerald and Patrick Peterson, who are paid handsomely and can do it on the field, they lack somebody really that can speak up in the locker room. And I think that now they have to identify not a guy that's going to, you know, speak softly and carry a big stick, mm-hmm. but a guy that's going to speak up and hold his teammates accountable when things are going wrong. You didn't get that. I look at this organization, and some of the guys that were looked up to in the last couple of years were like a Frosty Rucker or mm-hmm. Corey Peters, guys who are kind of, they play an integral role on the team and maybe kind of are some unsung heroes, but those guys can't be the main mouthpieces in your locker room. I mean, I know, I respect Fitz's game, and I understand that he's a guy that's going to do it more so with his actions than he is going to do it with his words. Yeah, absolutely. Right. But especially in the NFL. I mean, you talk about the NBA. I mean, Tim Duncan played with guys like Steven Jackson. Mm-hmm. And those guys can be a nuisance at times.
Dennis Rodman?
Yeah, but you absolutely need guys that are going to speak up. And sometimes they're going to be out of line. And then there are going to be guys like Larry Fitzgerald, Patrick Peterson, that can kind of put those guys back in line. But it's necessary. It's very necessary. I know that, you know, people don't like the diva, you know, Antonio Brown, and sometimes it can get out of control, and sometimes it can really be detrimental, and a lot of times it ends in divorce, and it's ugly. But sometimes you see guys who provide a spark.
Yeah.
And it's necessary. I like the acquisition at the end of the year of DJ Swearinger, who's going to be back on this team.
Oh, he is? I didn't know
yeah,
that.
Yeah, so he was controllable for another year beyond 2018.
Yeah, so he's coming back home.
So DJ Swearinger is going to continue to wear a Cardinals uniform. We've already seen on social media. He's already working out. He's already ready to go for next season. Yeah. I like that passion. Yeah. And I think they need more guys like that.
I agree. But I mean, and unfortunately for the Cardinals, that's another thing Alex Clancy, Bo Brock, Locked On Cardinals, we've talked about, is the vocal leadership. Correct. We're not even talking about bringing people in player-wise for positions that need holes filled. You're talking about something that's emotional.
Right.
We're not talking about physical stuff. We're talking about emotional stuff, which is just another thing that the Cardinals are behind the curve on. And it's not Larry Fitzgerald's fault and Patrick Peterson and David Johnson's fault, but some Chandler Jones, usually one of your best players is a vocal leader, and the Cardinals do not have one. And it's unbelievable with the amount of talent that they have in those four players.
Well, I think they're too specific. I mean, you hear it all the time. It's like, if Larry Fitzgerald, if I could, you know, multiply him, if I could clone Larry Fitzgerald, I'd take 53 Larry Fitzgeralds. But that's not the case. That's not how sports works. Right. You need different personalities. Yeah. You need them to mesh. And I think that the Cardinals, they had the blueprint of what they wanted, what they felt was the ideal player, and they got too many of them. They need some guys to kind of rattle the cage.
Sure.
Yeah. This team has been too comfortable, and the results haven't been there. You can't be too comfortable in that locker room. Larry Fitzgerald and Patrick Peterson can be comfortable. Their play shows that they're still showing up each and every week, 16 times a season, and they're producing. But there are guys in there that have the same mentality that can't. You can't be relaxed. You haven't been paid yet. You still have to produce. And guys like Hassan Reddick and other draft picks who are not panning out so far, DJ Humphreys, Robert Kendiche, they're too comfortable.
Yeah.
You need somebody to light a fire under those guys, and it goes beyond the coaching staff. And I just see a roster of guys. Sure, you can find very high leadership qualities in these guys, but you need somebody to maybe take it down a notch, somebody that's going to just be fiery.
Alex Clancy, Bo Brock, on the other side, I have a guy that's perfect for it, and I have the position that's perfect for it. And it's a position of need, but not as glaring as others. But with what Bo's talking about, it seems to be at the top of their list, or should be. Alex Clancy, Bo Brock. We'll be right back. Welcome back, Alex Clancy, Bo Brock. Locked On Cardinals here. Man, we're getting some more listens. People are finally... We want to build a podcast where people want... where they feel invited to listen. And like Bo and I are sitting here with a bottle of Jack between us. Like, that's how we like to... We get fiery sometimes. We get in arguments. We agree most of the time. And really, we... accountability, which is something that Bo and Jody Ehler on The Drive, on the show they're on, talking about the accountability board, mm-hmm. It's, we don't just want to be like, well, we hope this happens. We don't think, but you know, we hope, being soft-spoken, that's not in either of our DNAs. So we appreciate the listens. If there's anything that you want to hear that we're not talking about, or things you want to hear more about, at Locked On AZ Cards, message us, let us know, mention us. And we'll get it done, because we're doing this for you and for the fans with the Arizona Cardinals. So
at Clancy's Corner, at Bob Rack on Twitter.
Very good. See? Yin-yang here.
It's good synergy.
It's good synergy. Synergy is a made-up word. It's a hippie word. Anyway, so Bo is talking about leadership in the locker room. Somebody that's going to speak higher than a librarian decibel level.
Mm-hmm.
Just put it that way, because whenever you're in the locker, and listen, we're not in the locker room after, or in the middle of practice, or before practice, or before games. We're media members, but from everything that we've heard, whether it be through sources inside the locker room, or just things that we've seen, is there ain't that vocal leader. And there's one position. What's the one position on defense that is supposed to be the leader of the defense?
Yeah, it's the guys with the green dots on the back of their helmets. It's your QB on defense.
Right.
It's the linebacker.
It's a middle linebacker.
Yeah.
Okay. And it obviously depends upon what system you run. If it's a 4-3, you actually have one middle linebacker. With the 3-4 that it's going to be, it's a little different. But there are Luke Kuechly's, Ray Lewis, Thomas Davis, guys like that. And Thomas Davis is the guy that came to the top of my head. I'm like, you know what? He's had 3 ACL tears in his career.
Right.
He's played with Carolina at a high level for several years now. He brought Luke Kuechly up to speed when he wasn't injured. Thomas Davis, I believe, will not be retained by the Carolina Panthers.
No, yeah.
And this is a guy that still wants to play football. The ACL tears are in his past, knock on wood.
He broke his forearm in the NFC
Championship. Oh, that's right. He played in the Super Bowl.
He had like stitches in his forearm.
That's,
and he
right.
played in the Super Bowl.
It looked like a football.
Yeah, it was.
It looked
brutal.
Like a football.
It didn't
with
have
stitches.
The Duke logo in the NFL on his arm, but yeah, it looked like it had the stitches.
But the dude still wants to play football. He is exactly the kind of guy that Bo's talking about. A guy that will ruffle feathers, that will get in people's faces, and he plays the position of which the Cardinals have a need, for which the Cardinals have a need. And there are guys like this, veteran guys for a young linebacking core. Somebody like that is paramount. And you need a middle line. Like, all good defenses have a leader on defense. And it's not always your lockdown corner. And most of the time, it's not.
Mm-hmm.
That's a guy that, they're very interesting guys. They're almost like special team players, where it's like they're loud, like a Richard Sherman, but Earl Thomas or Bobby Wagner was the leader of that defense.
Right.
And it's something that, you know, the Cardinals need a linebacker that'll help kind of
Can
bring
I
these guys
up
to speed.
Thomas Davis?
Please.
Just with a guy that's younger, that this is going to be a situation where the new league year comes around and you start hearing reports of teams knocking and calling guys right there at 12:01 midnight. Once you can, you know, tamper, you know, legally tamper in the NFL.
Yeah.
the first call they need to make, because I like the Thomas Davis, but I want to go with a young
if
Thomas
you could,
Davis.
Yeah, definitely
there
go
is,
younger.
And he's there. He's there. C.J. Mosley from the Baltimore Ravens is a guy who plays inside.
Yeah.
And he's a guy that's a vocal leader. And he's coming from a defense. I mean, I don't know if the Ravens are going to let him out of their grasp. It would be pretty idiotic. Former first-round pick out of Alabama.
Yeah.
He would be perfect. He would be
Is he restricted
perfect.
Free agent?
He's unrestricted.
Oh, wow.
He's a guy that's going to hit. He's probably the best linebacker in the class.
That's interesting.
No doubt about it.
And that's somebody you'd want to overpay.
Oh, yeah.
To keep,
and you have to.
He's probably mid-20, 27, 28, I would think at this
26.
Point. 26. 26, yikes.
Yeah.
He hasn't even been in the league that long. So, the problem that the Cardinals have, and this is going to be, we're going to talk about this infused into all of our conversations, is that there are two teams that are further along in the process that have more money than the Cardinals do this offseason. One's the Colts, two's the Jets.
Right.
And the Colts is, that's the team that may get a couple guys that the Cardinals want because they have more money and they are eons further along in the process of becoming a Super Bowl contender.
Yeah.
I mean, but the Jets, you have East Rutland, you have New York. And that defense, gangrene is kind of something that people always wanted to bring back to prominence. I mean, you look at Mark Sanchez. Mark Sanchez wouldn't have got there without that defense. Two consecutive AFC Championship games beating Tom Brady and Peyton Manning. You don't see that as much with the Jets, but it's still New York and that trumps Arizona. But C.J. Mosley would be a great thing, and you're probably right, though. Baltimore would try to retain him at all cost, I would think.
And they played a 3-4 there in Baltimore.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things where you're not only looking for, you know, character, you're looking for leadership, you're looking for, you know, play on the field, but he's a guy that's playing in the 34. Mm-hmm. That's what Baltimore did. The thing that concerns me about Thomas Davis is, I mean, if you do get a guy like C.J. Mosley in the fold, adding a veteran to that core, there's no harm in that.
Right.
That makes it even better. And I think you have to go out there, you have to make a splash. There has to be one guy that Steve Keim has to eye, and it's got to be more of a contributor than last offseason, where the splash that they made was a disaster in Sam Bradford.
Yeah, no, and I agree. And the thing is, there are so many different schools of thought, so many different possibilities for the game plan of the Cardinals, whether it be go hard defense on in free agency and then load up offensively on in the draft, which I think would be the mistake. I think that you want to get younger on defense if you can. Bring in a couple small money veteran guys. You need to power through, in my opinion, get some veteran leadership on offense.
Sure.
Guys that can actually produce as well, obviously offensive line or otherwise.
Yeah, it'd be interesting if they can find those guys. Are they guys that played, you know, with Clements in that Green Bay system years ago? You know, is it going to be like Randall Cobb going to be somebody you want to bring in, you know, that you can just add to that wide receiver core? Is it a guy that we've seen recently, like Cole Beasley?
Right.
I mean, because you're not going to go, I don't see any wide receivers out there that you're going to want to pay. Golden Tate, maybe?
Mm-hmm.
That'd be a good addition to this offense.
You would think Philly would want to try and retain him if the money was right.
I think that Steve Keim, it is incredibly important for him to go out there, make a huge splash in free agency day one, and kind of get the ball rolling, get that momentum going as far as the Cardinals are concerned this offseason.
On the other side, we'll wrap up here. We're going to talk about this so much more. I mean, until Bo is blue in the face. Alex Clancy, Bo Brock. We'll be right back. Wrapping up here, Alex Clancy, Bo Brock, Locked On Cardinals. Follow me on Twitter at Clancy's Corner. Follow Bo at Bob Brack. You can listen to us both on Fox Sports 910 Phoenix, me 1-4 on the Freaks, and Bo 4-7 on the Drive. So we've got kind of a hodgepodge podcast going on today. There's a lot of things that are going to start to come into clarity, I guess. And it's going to happen seemingly overnight. It's going to be like, okay, we're ramping up, and then, oh my God, everything's happening. And this is all still projection. Larry Fitzgerald is now still the cornerstone of the offense. What he will be under the Cliff Kingsbury offense, we don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm assuming that he'll get an uptick of targets, even though, you know, he had really a good amount of targets last year. You know, his catches and numbers were down yardage-wise, but for how bad the season was, wasn't all that awful of a season. Especially for a 34-year-old.
I mean, what's going to be important this offseason is really to kind of turn over that wide receiver room.
Yeah.
You know, Christian Kirk coming off the injury, but you're expecting big things in a second season from him. I know that you don't want to spend a lot of your draft capital on offense, but going out and getting the wide receiver in the second and third round I think is important for this team. You add another playmaker, you know, is it a guy that we've seen that's tumbling down mock drafts in N'Keal Harry. If he's available.
Wow, why is he dropped so quickly?
I think that it's going to be important for him to kind of have a strong
combine's going to be very important.
His combine's going to be huge, but his route running has been criticized. He's just one of those guys that's more of like it's the equivalent of a street baller, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, he's just a guy that's but he's a playmaker. And if you
and
put him if you put him in the right situation, you put him in Cliff Kingsbury's situation or in his offense. I mean, he's a guy that could flourish. Also, Cliff Kingsbury, he coached a kid that's gonna projects as a second to fourth rounder in Antoine Wesley, who is got great size. He's like 6'5". Mm-hmm. He's like 220. Probably could stand and put on some pounds. But he's a big time playmaker. Why not go out and get a guy that's familiar with Kingsbury's offense right away?
Yeah, no, that's interesting.
Use like your third round pick mm-hmm. and go grab him.
Because in essence, and Bo's talked about this a lot. That and just remember. The Cardinals' second round pick is pretty much a first round pick.
Right.
It's a first round pick light. Okay. So if the Cardinals can still stick at number one, you could easily trade back into the first round if you want to draft a N'Keal Harry. I wouldn't be upset if they drafted two receivers in this draft. You have to be young, and you can tell that rookie receivers can have an impact immediately.
Denver did it last year. They used the second round and a fourth round pick. And they were guys that were contributing by the end of the season. Cortland Sutton became their number one wide receiver. And then Deshaun Hamilton was a guy that was producing out of the slot.
Right.
I know that you've got Larry Fitzgerald for the 1 year, reportedly $11 million deal. But you want somebody to learn the slot position. Go out and get a guy like Deshaun Hamilton in the fourth round, fifth round. You got 5-1. That's kind of like a fourth. That's the luxury of having the first round or the first pick in every round.
Right.
You can kind of get value each and every round, the best player each and every round, or the guys that were left over that didn't get selected in the where they were projected. I mean, that's going to be huge. And when, as we talk about the draft, the more and more I think about it, Nick Bosa, there's discussion that he's going to be playing defensive end in a 34 defense. He's not going to be standing up. He's going to play with his hand in the dirt.
A little undersized for that,
that
right?
That's problematic for me.
Yeah.
I mean, you're just gonna. It's the same thing that you based drafting Hassan Reddick on. It's like we've seen Nick Bosa, be successful in the sample size at Ohio State, mm-hmm. But we want to ask him to do something else, or we want to put a hand in the dirt defensive end. We want to draft him number one overall.
Yeah, that's not. And here's the thing: is there are so many more glaring needs than a linebacker / defensive end that the Cardinals have right now, or pass edge rusher, I should say, not linebacker. So if things will change like that with where they want to actually place him, if they draft him, you may want to go a separate way. Alex Lanty, Bo Brock, we're doing a bonus podcast tomorrow because we missed on Tuesday, so we will check you tomorrow.